you have the chance to win a Spring Super Sweeps from LAist. Donate $60 for one entry to win a brand new Lexus or $25,000 in cash. Check out all the other prizes too when you donate now at laist.com/sweeps.
It's Air Talk. I'm Larry Mantle. Coming up later this hour, the first of what will be a daily series this week in which you get to meet members of KPCC's backbone. These are the employees who are not in the content part of KPCC, but instead providing absolutely essential work to make sure that our programs are on the air, that our listeners are served, that our contributions are taken in, all of those tremendous departments here at KPCC. And we're going to spotlight just a few of them over the course of the next few days. So stay tuned. Your chance to meet those who are very directly involved in your KPCC experience, even though you don't hear them on the air except today and for the next few days. Right now, we turn our attention to the crisis of migrant children in facilities across the United States, including three here in Southern California at the Long Beach Convention Center, Fairplex in Pomona, and the San Diego Convention Center. The Associated Press reports that tens of thousands of asylum-seeking children are in some 200 facilities spanning two dozen states. There are also five shelters that have more than 1,000 children inside each of those. Joining us to talk about where we're at is Homeland Security reporter for the New York Times, Eileen Sullivan. Eileen, thank you very much for being with us. What progress is being made on finding homes for those kids that are in these institutional settings?
Well, thanks so much for having me. And to that question, HHS is discharging, so putting children with sponsors, family members, more children on average a day than children from CBP are being transferred into the system. So it wasn't always like that, and that is certainly considered progress, but the children are still in the shelter an average of 37 days.
Until those families can be found. Are these typically extended family members that the kids are being placed with?
So in most cases, yes, it's a immediate family member, parent or legal guardian, there are four categories, and parent and legal guardian is the first category, and most of the children are being paired with them.
And why is it taking more than 30 days for this process? Is it about investigating the home environment in which the child is going to be placed, or is there something else going on?
It is certainly part of that. HHS is responsible for making sure that the children are being placed into safe situations. It's also they're dealing with a record number of children, and they've had to set up emergency shelters, and so they've had to staff them up as well, which means getting people in there, these case managers who are the ones to pair, connect the child with a parent or legal guardian in the United States, and it takes time.
Eileen, what about the numbers right now? Do we have a sort of best census count on the number of kids in totality?
Right now, there's a little more than 16,000 in the care, the custody of Health and Human Services.
And are the kids that are now being assigned to these centers where they're taken, are these typically kids who have recently arrived at the border asking asylum, or how are they making their way to those facilities?
Well, so they come through the border, and they're processed through a Customs and Border Protection or Border Patrol office. And they, if you remember, in March, there was a problem. There were too many children staying in those facilities for too long, and they were not set up for children, and they were not suitable for holding children. So they set up these emergency shelters. And now their goal is to, well, by law, they have to get the children out of the border shelters and into a more suitable shelter overseen by HHS. And from there, depending on what's going on at the shelter, how big it is, they start the process of trying to pair the kids with sponsors in the United States.
Last month, you wrote about how internal documents showed the conditions at these shelters varied quite widely. Is that still the case?
I from what I've heard, yes, I have not seen them myself or gotten any specific reporting. But they're different. And HHS has these things that they call licensed facilities, and they are licensed through the states to meet very specific standards. And they don't have enough of those facilities or beds to house the number of children who have been arriving at the southern border this spring. So then they set up emergency shelters. And, you know, they do. They vary in size. Some are small. There's a shelter. I spoke with someone in Long Beach who said it's, you know, relatively good. But, you know, nobody wants any of these children. The advocates and you know, child advocates say they don't want children in these settings for any extended period of time.
We're talking with the New York Times Homeland Security reporter Eileen Sullivan. Also with us, the executive director of the Immigrant Defenders Law Center, based here in Southern California, Lindsay Tozlowski, who has visited recently both the Long Beach Convention Center shelter and the Pomona Fairplex site as well. Lindsay, thank you for being with us. You were at Long Beach on Friday, is that right, that recently?
Yeah, so our team is at both the Long Beach shelter and the Pomona shelter, providing legal services every single day. And I'm usually in Long Beach twice a week myself.
So what do you observe when you visit? Let's start with Long Beach.
Sure. So, you know, as Ms. Sullivan mentioned, we are seeing, you know, relatively safer conditions in places like Long Beach and Pomona. You know, we here in Southern California, we actually have a variety of shelters. Immigrant Defenders Law Center provides services in more than a dozen permanent Office of Refugee Resettlement shelters in this area. Some of them are, you know, shelters that house upwards of 100 children, and some of them are actually foster care placements. But in places like Long Beach and Pomona, which are these emergency intake centers, we're seeing hundreds of children at any given time, which is quite unusual. So currently in Long Beach, you know, the census, which you can actually go on the city of Long Beach, they have a website where they'll tell you about some of the statistics of the kids that are in the facility, which is something that's very unusual. You don't see that for places like Fort Bliss or other places in Texas. At places like Long Beach, even though we still have hundreds of children, because of the oversight of local elected officials who have a real vested interest in children being well cared for in these facilities that, you know, in the case of Long Beach, are owned and operated by the city of Long Beach, because of that oversight by local elected officials and also the presence of independent legal organizations like Immigrant Defenders Law Center, we are seeing significantly better circumstances and treatment of the children in these facilities. Certainly better than, you know, what we're hearing coming out of places like Fort Bliss, which is, you know, a shelter that is designed to hold as many as 10,000 children at any given time. And because it's on a Department of Defense site and because it's, you know, outside the state of California, in places like California that have a real vested interest in monitoring conditions, we don't have the same oversight, and we are hearing horrific stories about the treatment of children in those facilities.
You know, speaking of Long Beach, I assume that the Convention and Visitors Authority is looking at hosting conventions again, perhaps later this year. You know, given the number of kids that are being sheltered there, is it realistic that they're all going to be placed in time that the convention center will be able to get back to its usual business?
Yeah, so the convention center is expected to be used to house children through July 31st. And at that point, it will be converted back into its normal operations. The Pomona Fairplex may stay open for longer than that. Currently, both facilities actually have many times fewer children in them than the capacity that they are actually designed to hold. So in Long Beach, we just have several hundred children, but it's designed to hold as many as 1,000. And currently, there's approximately 500 to 600 children at the Pomona Fairplex, but that facility is designed to hold as many as 2,500 children. So, you know, I think one question that comes up from hearing that is why there are children still being held in places like Fort Bliss that are seeing such horrific conditions when we have capacity in these much safer and more child-friendly facilities in California. But also for a place like Pomona, we do expect it to stay open for, you know, much longer, potentially through the end of the year.
All right. We'll continue our conversation with Lindsay Toslowski, Executive Director of the Immigrant Defenders Law Center, and New York Times Homeland Security reporter Eileen Sullivan. We're updating you on the very latest on the kids who've arrived in the United States who are seeking asylum here in the U.S. and what their status is. Our producer, Matt D'Angelo-Antonio, went on to Long Beach's website and found that at the Long Beach Convention Center, as of 8:50 this morning, the census of youths awaiting a unification with U.S. families, 174, and there have been just shy of 700 total unifications to date. Unifications represent kids who've been cleared to leave the facility through a vetting process and unified with a family member here in the United States. We're talking about the process and where things stand with those young folks who were at the Long Beach Convention Center, at Fairplex in Pomona, also here in Southern California at the San Diego Convention Center. And as we were hearing from Immigrant Defenders Law Center Executive Director Lindsay Toslowski, all these other smaller facilities that also are very heavily used to house kids while they're awaiting this process of being unified with family members. If you have questions for our guests, we're at 866-893-KPCC, 866-893-5722. You can also ask a question via Twitter. You can tweet at Air Talk. With us as well, Homeland Security reporter for the New York Times, Eileen Sullivan. Eileen, Republicans have been very critical of the Biden administration's handling of the migrant detentions. And of course, during the Trump administration, Democrats were very upset about the conditions and the time involved with the use in detention at other facilities. What is the current administration attempting to do to expedite this process and to deal with the criticism?
Well, I mean, they're just trying to place the kids safely with families and get them out of Border Patrol, border cells as soon as possible.
And have there been any additional personnel to do the vetting and unification?
Yes, they've, you know, they've called in some other people from federal offices around the country who have been helping, and they work with a lot of non-government organizations that also are helping.
All right. And Lindsay, at the local shelters in Long Beach and at Fairplex, is there a lot of involvement with the community, like volunteers coming in or teachers that are working with the kids on site?
Yeah, so at both of the local facilities, there's been, you know, a huge outpouring of community support, both in terms of gifts for the actual children, things like, I think in Long Beach, they have more than 150,000 books and toys and blankets and pillow pets that have been donated for the children. And you can see, you know, how much these small items of comfort mean to the kids. They are just devouring, especially the Spanish language books that have been donated. And there's also been artists, singers. There's dogs that actually have been brought in, comfort dogs, so therapeutic dogs that have been brought in to meet with the children, to help them. And, you know, all of these things are so important because many of these kids are coming to our communities with profound trauma from what they fled in their home countries, trauma from the journey. We're still finding that as many as 16 to 17% of the children that we interview were impacted by, you know, really cruel border policies like Title 42, where sometimes they were separated from family members at the border and their families were expelled back to Mexico. So when we see these kids in the shelters, they're often coming with that profound trauma. And so these community resources, along with the mental health services, which are being provided at both Pomona and Long Beach, are incredibly important for the short stays that we hope these kids have at the convention center and the Fairplex before they move on to reunifications with their family members.
Can you elaborate a bit on the kinds of emotional and mental health support the kids are being offered there?
Sure. So in addition to educational services, so mostly English as second language, English language classes, the children are, given mental health evaluations. They also have the ability, if there's any sort of crisis, they have clinicians on site 24/7 who are meeting with the children. I've seen that they have created actual sort of support groups or therapeutic groups where they can meet with the children. And then also importantly, although we are not specifically mental health providers, the legal service providers are meeting with small groups of children every single day to make sure that they understand their rights while they're there in Long Beach or Pomona. We make sure that they understand and are oriented to the process of a deportation proceeding, to the immigration court. And by orienting them to where they are and what's happening to them, it really empowers the children to better understand, you know, what's happening, where they're going, and also to understand, you know, their rights at the center, their rights as children in the United States. And we always try and start every presentation by making sure that they know, that we are there for them, that they're welcome in our communities, and that they're not alone. And that's a really important thing to tell a child. We're very grateful that the kids have been given, you know, so many toys and books, but for a child in government custody, very often the most important thing for them to have as a lawyer. And so we're proud to play that part with all the children in Long Beach and Pomona.
Can you give a sense of the morale? And I know that's, of course, going to differ from child to child and the circumstances of you know, what led them to be in U.S. custody. But we know the kids are resilient at the same time that these kids have gone through some extremely difficult experiences. What's your sense of how they're coping with it?
You know, many of these children have been through some extremely traumatic experiences. I can tell you that just last week I met with a young boy and his little sister, and I was talking to them. And when I first asked him, you know, what was the reason you came to the United States? He told me so that he could pursue his dreams. And he told me about wanting to become a pediatrician, and his little sister told me she wanted to be a veterinarian. But as I dug deeper, I asked, you know, why they were from a Central American country. I said, why couldn't you pursue your dreams, in your country where you were? And he explained to me that his father had been murdered and that the people who murdered his father had actually begun to threaten him and his little sister. And that was why they came. So when we're talking about kids who are fleeing such incredible violence and such traumatic events in their lives, you know, they arrive in these centers with just profound mental health needs, profound need to find stability and to find safety. So with those two kids, as we were talking, I said, you know, I'm glad you're here and I'm glad you're safe. And they were awaiting reunification with their mom, who was in another state. And, you know, as they're waiting, I hope that they'll receive the services that they need to set them up well to begin the true recovery, which will be when they're reunified with their family, when they're in their communities, when they're integrating, likely permanently into the United States as they seek asylum, that's when the real hard work will start. So the time in the center is really a time for us to, you know, provide sort of on-the-spot treatment for what we can deal with in those moments, but it is the long haul when they get into our communities. And here in California, we're estimating that this year alone, we may have as many as 18,000 unaccompanied children who permanently resettle in our communities here in the state of California. And so there is going to need to be a huge outpouring of community support with mental health services, legal services. Our school districts are really going to need to step up to make sure that those children are set up for success.
All right, joining us is Lindsay Tozlowski, Executive Director of the Immigrant Defenders Law Center based here in Southern California. She and members of the staff at Immigrant Defenders are at the local facilities at the Long Beach Convention Center at Fairplex in Pomona, working with the young people there as they're awaiting reunification with family members. Eileen Sullivan, Homeland Security reporter for the New York Times. Eileen, I don't know to what extent you've been following today's events in Guatemala, where Vice President Harris is met with the president there. What is the hope of what that meeting might accomplish?
Well, I don't know that much about it. I'm not there. But I know that they're meeting to talk about what can be done in the region to put an end to the violence and poverty that's driving a lot of these families to the southern border.
All right. I want to thank both of you very much for being with us and talking about the circumstances of these young people at our Southern California facilities, and also what's happening on the broader issue of young people coming to the U.S. seeking asylum. Eileen Sullivan, Homeland Security reporter for the New York Times, thank you for joining us. Lindsay Tozlowski of the Immigrant Defenders Law Center here in Southern California. Oh, Lindsay, I do have a listener question wondering what percentage of the kids are teenagers, and sort of are they able to do a good job of differentiating the different age-based needs of the kids who are in custody?
Yeah, that's a great question. So in the Pomona facility, the age range goes all the way from very young children under the age of 4 all the way up to 17. But the vast majority of the children that we're seeing are over the age of 12. In Long Beach, that has been designated as a site specifically for younger children because they're keeping sibling sets together. So we have lots of children who are, you know, 5, 6, 7 years old, very young children, but who are there with an older sibling.
Thank you, Lindsay. Appreciate your being with us again on Air Talk. Thank you, Lindsay Tozlowski, Immigrant Defenders Law Center, based here in Southern California. Coming up on Air Talk, you're going to get to hear from two members of what we're calling our backbone, the people not in the content area, but doing all the necessary and good work to keep the service coming your way.
The LAist Spring Super Sweeps is happening now. You can win amazing prizes while supporting your source for local fact-based journalism. One lucky grand prize winner will get to choose a brand new Lexus or $25,000 in cash. Other prizes include an electric bike from Juice Bikes and $1,000 gas gift cards. Your donation of $60 gets you one entry to win, and the more you give, the more entries you get. Donate now at LAist.com/sweeps.